Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you very much for those who are following us on Facebook. We appreciate that. Although this is a podcast, we'd love to continue to grow the Facebook audience for sure, and we continue to do that. But I want to thank those that continue to watch the show, follow the show, download the show. We get thousands and thousands of downloads a month, and it keeps growing, so I want to just make sure I take the time to thank those out there that take the time to do that. There's a lot of choices you can make out there for listening to podcasts, and we work really hard to hopefully try to provide you with great shows, great guests, and content to keep your interest. So thank you very much. Today we have Jack Russo back with us. Good to have you back, Jack. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've taken a few international trips. I'm beyond the jet lag, and I'm getting used to traffic again, which I've been have had far less traffic. And as I was saying to you, I was lucky enough to be with my old partner from my last firm, Bill Fenwick.
Boy, that must have been, yeah.
I have to have him come
flash
in
the past.
I have to have him come in for one of these shows because we went to the Computer History Museum in Mountain View. Of course, it took forever to get there. Yeah. We were commenting about when he first came to Silicon Valley, which was like 50 plus years ago, and when I first came to Silicon Valley, which is like 40 years ago, there wasn't any of this traffic. There wasn't the congestion. It didn't seem as though the housing density went as
well. And that's another topic we'll have to talk about another time. But what's interesting is that through all this growth, we haven't done a very good job at public transportation and getting people around. And just a quick side note of that, I spent some time at an event where the people at Google were speaking about the Google City they're doing in downtown San Jose.
Right.
And a lot of that planning, they said you won't even see cars in that Google City. What you'll see is drop off in transportation that comes in, bikes, walkways, pathways, motor scooter types. So they're just envisioning this, like keeping cars all away. Kind of interesting, right? I mean, it's 7 to 10 years from now.
Whenever you drive into like San Francisco or congested part of San Jose or wherever you drive into, you say, why isn't there a way to just park your car and just get on a shuttle bus or something? It would be a lot faster. You wouldn't get all the tickets that people get. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were trying to get the Computer History Museum because Doug Engelbart, who's an inspiration for this big mural we have on the wall, and it's in the book that we give out to people that are interested about being an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley, Doug Engelbart was being honored on the 50th anniversary of his demonstration of the original computing system that had a graphical user interface and mouse. This is before Microsoft, before Apple, before Google, before all these companies, 50 years ago.
Amazing.
In 1968, and they've got black and white film of him demonstrating this, and people are looking at it like, wow, graphics on a screen, and he's moving this little box wooden mouse. And he's talking about the future will be information at your fingertips and you can get your job done without moving paper files, without going to a photocopy machine. 1960s was very much copy machines and secretaries and people moving paper files.
Typewriters.
I mean, and Bill remembers because he started the firm that now is Fenwick & West, Davis, Stafford, Kelman & Fenwick, the original firm that I joined, basically was, hey, we're going to help this computer industry grow because Bill was reminiscing about his work from the mainframe days and it all starting to decentralize. Wow. And that's a big story.
We've come a long way. Speaking of that, we're going to try to end the year in the right way. So most of you know have been following the show. Jack has, we've done a series now for several months, probably 5 or 6 months, and it's got to be probably 26, 27, I think, shows at this point. But really about entrepreneurship, starting something new in Silicon Valley. Jack's firm specializes in working with startups from the very early stages. And so we're going to wrap things up here towards the end of the year about year-end planning for corporations, LLCs. What kind of things should you know about, plan for as you go into the new year?
Right, and what to think about, because you don't want the context to be the context I often see, which is the company is under some litigation attack.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to start thinking, what if they pierce through the corporate veil? Mm. What if they pierce through? And a lot of people are surprised to learn a litigant can pierce through even the LLC veil.
Mm.
A limited liability company was historically viewed as a much simpler way
right.
to create a vehicle mm-hmm. that would protect against liability of its stakeholders, its members.
Okay.
And conceptually, it was simplified. It was supposed to be not a lot of heavy-duty paperwork. The reality is the courts have maintained the view that if there is inequity
mm-hmm.
and if there hasn't been respect for formalities, okay. of which there's supposed to be fewer,
mm-hmm.
the litigant can pierce through. So the context I see, which is the one that we can talk about briefly just to set the stage, is a situation where a bank is owed some money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee that's been signed by the people that started the LLC.
Okay.
The LLC has assets. But the assets are not producing enough money to pay off the bank debt. So the bank not only wants to sue to reach those assets,
mm.
they want to pierce through and reach the individual members,
mm.
some of which are completely innocent, passive investors,
yeah.
saying, I thought it was limited liability. I put this deal together believing I would never get sued. This happens. I mean, it happens, you might argue, and it's sort of like, do you liquidate or leverage up? Sometimes
yeah.
people leverage up too much.
Too much, yeah.
And when you're over-leveraged, mm-hmm. that creates risk
it's
that
true.
The bank will say, wait a minute, we're not protected enough. You better find some other assets to give
mm-hmm.
us. And, of course, those assets may not be in the company.
Mm.
So we should talk year-end because we're in December, and
yeah.
we're literally at the second half of the month of December, and I don't know how many business days until the end of the year, but there's not that many.
We're wrapping things up.
We're wrapping things up, and there's things that if you run a company or you have an LLC or you have some entity or entity, some people have multiple entities, you should start thinking about that are not only driven by the fact that typically the fiscal year
mm-hmm.
is the calendar year,
mm-hmm.
and there are tax deductions. So, of course, you see lots
yeah.
of issues
right.
about that, right?
You know, we didn't really address it. We did briefly, but maybe you could talk a little bit up mm-hmm. today, and that is the importance of these startups. And even if you're very small, one of the smartest things you could do is get a CPA or get someone to manage those books, right? Because
right.
if you have investors or people that are interested in investing, or
yes.
once you start taking people's money, you better be accountable.
You
right?
should be accountable. You want to be accountable.
Right.
You want to be auditable. You
right.
even if you can't afford a formal audit, you
right.
want a third party to look at stuff and say, why did you categorize this way? Will that
right.
really pass muster? Let's really look at the documentation
mm-hmm.
for this. There's lots of tools. There are lots of apps on the market, but there's nothing better than getting a good CPA
mm-hmm.
to look at something and say, look, this is not going to jive with any future financing.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. Right off the bat, the end of year
right.
financials and anticipating, what can we do to properly accelerate tax deductions this year that are properly deductible?
Mm-hmm.
And there are all sorts of tax advantages of buying equipment before the end of the year,
mm.
doing stuff that gives you the advantage in this tax year versus waiting until the end of next tax year.
I mean, okay.
everything works more or less on a calendar basis in the U.S.
Right, right.
So looking at things, and I'm not the tax lawyer and I'm not the tax advisor, but in general, in the context of getting companies we represent ready for their next year, typically
mm-hmm.
looking forward to a financing, we say, let's sit down with the company's accountant, or if the company doesn't have an accountant, we find someone for them, and we say, let's go through the books and see where you're at.
Okay.
Oftentimes, it's mostly losses. Look, startups are mostly losses.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, startups, yeah. you're paying a bunch of money. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of a dip in the curve,
yeah.
hoping for the hockey stick that's going to turn up.
A lot of ramp up.
A lot of
yeah.
ramp up.
Yeah.
A lot of cost. A lot of stuff where you're building value, but it doesn't add up to cash flow
mm-hmm.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where real estate people, I know you're not that kind of person, but
right.
there are real estate people like, why is this thing so negative? Isn't it like a building? Rents start coming in. You know, real estate people in particular are not
right.
used to having these hockey stick kinds of approaches. They think of it as put money in, get
right.
money out.
Right.
It's like a bond. It's
mm-hmm.
like a piece of real estate should have rents.
Yeah.
Right? And your show, I'll drop a footnote. The one thing you didn't say in the last show that I listened to
uh-huh.
about liquidate or leverage is sometimes you take that additional loan because you want a rental period to create a 1031 exchange, right? That's a huge reason people
That's a good point.
It's a big deal.
I didn't address that part.
It's a big deal. And I was thinking, God, Joe, you know, I needed to call into your show because, you know, this is like some of the planning.
Right.
And, you know, as you get older, I've said this to my own mom, as you get older, you've got these real estate assets that are worth a lot. And the appreciation is going to essentially tax the heck out of you if you're just going to sell and liquidate and take that cash. Now, if you're moving it to a new residence, you get as a couple of $500,000 offset. But what if you have, in your case, $800,000 gain? So there's going to be some taxable gain there.
Right.
That the loan over, the say, the two-year period that you rent under the Safe Harbor 1031 rules. But getting back to the corporation ideas, you start going down a list of things, which are, how do you properly get your accounting books in order? Then you start to look at things like, well, how do you get your shareholder and stakeholder records in order? Because you'd be amazed that there are some companies that they don't do it the traditional way. They don't actually keep a ledger. The traditional way is you have an actual spreadsheet with the name of the shareholder. In an LLC context, it's called a member, a stakeholder that has some number of shares, and you're listing it. Well, these days, everything is done so electronically that everyone just assumes that spreadsheet is being self-created. Right. Well, that app I don't think has been created yet. Maybe it will be in the future. Maybe this augmented intelligence will automatically capture all the emails. I have clients, they do everything by email.
Yeah.
They literally don't even get signatures. They're like, oh, he emailed okay.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, there's no signature. Yeah, that's okay with him. Okay counts.
That would never hold up, though, right?
Doesn't hold up in real
estate. Someone could jump on your computer and...
It happens. People commit fraud.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of new authenticity issues that are raised by the fact that hacking is happening to computers and identity theft is happening. But people are operating at the speed of light, literally, and they'll just say, well, I've got that stored in email. I said to a client this afternoon, we need to see the document. He said, what document? The document that confirms the transaction happened. Oh, I did that by email. Well, can you find the email? He says, I think so. I've got to search for it. Then he said, I couldn't find the email. And I said, well, do you think it's archived somewhere? He says, I'm sure it's here. I just haven't had time to find it.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, email systems are not perfect in terms of searching.
No, they're not.
I mean, I don't think you can count the way people like to count on email.
No.
I mean, I like to imagine that documents, as I said in the very first show, if you can use a DocuSign or an EchoSign or something that manages the actual e-signature document, if you're going to use electronic signatures.
Right.
There are a lot of people that still like paper and like to print and like to scan it. But if you're going to use electronic signatures, create one for the company, archive it. And then at the end of the year, let's go through all the signed transactions and make sure we have the appropriate company resolutions that said, yes, we wanted to enter that long-term lease. There's no question we did enter it. Yes, we owe the rent. Yes, we have to make sure the books reflect the rent. These are all things that, in the context of an eventual investor, they're all going to be reviewed.
Yeah, they are. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're a little past our time, but we are going to take a one-minute break. We're going to jump back in. This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Ready Live. For those that are watching us on Facebook, stick with us. We'll be right back.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
How would you like the opportunity to secure a record low interest rate while buying and or selling your home? In addition, how would you like to save 20% or more on your entire real estate transaction? Finally, how would you like to bundle all your real estate services in one location? Well, now you can achieve this with BundleSelect.com. That's right, save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. BundleSelect's hand-picked team of experts will save you thousands of dollars by bundling real estate, lending, and title services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for for years. I'm here to tell you BundleSelect.com is the best way to save money on real estate. By bundling services, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Visit BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with the national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker License Number 0046-6902.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's topic or guests, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Cuchera.
Welcome back in. Joe Cuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. We have Jack Russo in studio today. We're talking about year-end planning for corporations and LLC. We've been doing an ongoing series about starting something new in Silicon Valley. And just before we jump back in, Jack, remind everyone again about the firm, what you guys specialize in.
All right. Jack Russo, managing partner at Computer Law Group. We're www.computerlaw.com in downtown Palo Alto. And also we have an office in San Francisco. 650-327-9800 is the phone number. JRusso at Computer Law, or just jack@computerlaw.com, works. In general, our focus is helping the early founding and startup and operation and growth. I mean, we do everything from the folks in the garage, sometimes as Lee likes to say, before they've even gotten into the garage, like they're still
they're in their bedroom, kitchen on the way to the kitchen,
maybe on the way to the garage. Or like the call earlier this week is we have a client that looks like they're going to do a $1 billion IPO. We're not going to do the IPO,
right. But
we help them get started.
Yeah.
And they're planning for a 2019 IPO. And they said, hey, you know, get ready for the big payday.
That's great.
This is like everyone's
going to
look. It's exciting. And you see that and you say, it's really the idea that Silicon Valley's got this amazing density of talent. And that talent comes together with a group in a team, and they take on the big challenges, and they produce in collective intelligence ways unbelievable outcomes that are disruptive to an unbelievable degree. The thing I sent you before I arrived was I got a notice from this company that's totally disrupting banking and securities training, Robinhood. They're now offering 3%. I shouldn't be doing free advertising on the show, but they're offering 3% on a checking account.
Really?
Think about that.
That's amazing.
There's no service fees. So they're saying, you put your checking, we want the checking to be right with your securities trading, your options trading. Of course, they also do cryptocurrency, which has been in the news for a while. It's going through heck now. It's going through a tough period now, but it'll be back. And they're saying, we will pay you 3% on the deposits.
Mm.
And they say, we're like Amazon. We're going to lose money. We're taking investor money in, and we want market share. So like Amazon, we expect to totally disrupt. So imagine you're a board member at Citibank or at Chase or anywhere else. These guys completely just changed the game.
I love it, though.
Think about it. Who isn't going to turn around and say, I'll start a checking account.
So they're going to do that just for a checking account? They're not requiring any other investments or assets?
No.
They just want to get it going and they prove to you, right?
They want to prove to you, and they're even saying, we'll give you an ATM card that works at unlimited ATMs, and we'll reimburse ATMs that charge you. I mean, how many times do you get tagged with fees at ATMs? Because you've got the Citibank card, but you're at an ATM machine that doesn't take Citibank. I mean, these Wall Street guys must be just shuddering in their boots saying Silicon Valley is now disrupting again the fintech model in a major way. And they're just one example. There's lots of others.
Yeah.
And they're forcing the banks to get far more efficient. And you see banks starting to change, saying, well, we can't have as many branches.
Mm-hmm.
The branches have to be completely different. They're renovating them to make them much more friendly.
Yeah.
But they're fundamentally putting a lot of automation into these things.
It's kind of along with our subject today because it's banking and relationships.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of funny. A lot of banks have for years, Jack, said, you know, you want to work with us because it's relationship banking.
Yes.
How much does relationship play into this so much anymore, you wonder?
If you've got a net worth of $10 million, you're going to have a good relationship with your bank. Trust me on that. And that's, by the way, where Robinhood and others will not play. In the area where if you're an advisor, as you are, to someone who's got 10 pieces of real estate, and they want to do cross-collateralization, and they want to mix and match, and they want to do a 1031 on this one, and they want to borrow money on that one, you really need someone who can look at the big picture, right. And that probably is not, at least not this year, not next year, but maybe 2020, that's not an app yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just load all that data in and say, give me the magic formula.
Right.
You need some human intelligence, mm-hmm. perhaps with some good spreadsheets running in the background, I'm sure. But fundamentally, that is relationship banking.
Yeah.
But that's not for most people.
That's true.
Most people are like, what is the latest data? They live paycheck to paycheck, even here in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
If they get hit with a $5,000 fine or a lawsuit or something, they may be in trouble. They may be in big trouble. And that's a lot of what goes on in the United States. There's a lot of people that can't afford to retire, even when they get to 75, 80 years old. It's a surprising situation.
Very true. Very true. So before we wrap it up in the next couple of minutes, what are some of the things that people should be thinking about? We've talked about year-end.
Right.
Make sure you really have your tax. I mean, my guess is you're meeting with your CPA, financial advisor, CEO.
Right.
It depends on what category your company
is,
Jack.
Right.
But you're doing a lot of this planning before the end of the year, right? Because there's some decisions that need to be made.
Yes, and if you're doing quarterly board meetings, a lot of this stuff will get queued up. If sometimes companies do even monthly meetings, sometimes this doesn't get done as often. A lot of these startups don't do meetings at all until one meeting, like today, one meeting, sort of the end of year meeting, and then, of course, we discover in the middle of it that shareholder notice hadn't been given to everyone by the guy who is responsible inside the company, so we had to reschedule the meeting.
Boy.
But the point is that that one meeting, a lot of business all gets done. Ideally, the CPA has looked at the financials and has given some update to what should happen. Ideally, there's been a little bit of tax planning. Ideally, the corporate formalities of let's make sure we have a resolution that says the shareholders agree that these officers will continue as the officers. If it's an LLC, let's have a resolution that says here's the year-end financials, here's who's going to be the manager or co-managers of the company, here's what our plan is, very simply stated, because you're trying to show separateness of what really is a corporate fiction.
Right.
This entity is a corporate fiction, but it has to look like it has its own life and it has its own set of books. They can all be electronic, but let's make sure they actually have signatures and are complete and actually represent the decisions that have been made by management, approved by the board or approved by the various people that are entitled to approve, because down the road, that's going to become something that a new investor looks at. So if you're lucky enough to go public, sometimes it's 5-10 years worth of data that gets poured over, and people say, hey, there's a gap here. We got to fill this gap. There's a mistake. Often they can be filled. Sometimes people look back and say, God, we don't even remember. We don't even have a forwarding address. There's one shareholder in particular. It turns out that he's moved. He's not even in California anymore. People are like, we don't even know where he lives. How do we give notice to him? You got to hire an investigator to find him.
Right.
You got to literally hire someone to go around and try to figure out where he land. And, of course, he has since gotten a divorce. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, does the wife have an interest in this? There's all sorts of stuff that plays out.
Well, I think as we wrap it up today, one of the things we talked about early, but, I mean, all this stuff is very important. But the other thing to keep in mind is as you grow and you get other people interested, whether it's board members, investors, talent, all these people are going to want to see how you handle your books, right?
Yes, yes. And you want to do it in a way that it doesn't have to be excessive, but it has to be good enough to show that decision making is being made in the best interest of the company, in the best interest of the shareholders, best interest of the stakeholders. Because at the end of the day, if there is a piercing, which is kind of like putting a stake through the heart of the entity and killing it, and saying, I can reach those behind it, the court will ultimately want to see that paperwork. To see that this is actually being run as a company and not simply as another wallet inside the pocket. I mean, look at that guy from Nissan that was just charged with tax fraud. I mean, probably all the records that they pulled up were like he was running this company in a way, I'm guessing, obviously, I have nothing against him, but he's been charged with all these crimes in Japan. Wow. He's been locked up for a while. This French guy locked up in Tokyo, can you imagine? He's probably thinking to himself, just because I decided to take on responsibility for this other company, all of a sudden they're coming after
me. Not a place you want to get locked up.
It's not, and they were saying, you know, in Japan, they do this without any due process to force a confession.
Well.
And it's why once you get locked up, it's pretty much over in Japan. You don't really get a chance to have a defense.
All right, with that, we're going to wrap it up. Just don't get locked up. That's
don't
the key here
up.
Today. Don't get locked up. Take care of your books. Take care of your end-of-the-year corporation, LLC stuff.
And have a happy holiday.
Yeah, and one more time, if someone wants to reach you, Jack, if they want some support or help.
Sure, Jack Russo. So it's jack@computerlaw.com, and it's 650-327-9800. The main office is in downtown Palo Alto. We have offices in downtown San Francisco. Most of our clients are in the South Bay, but we're growing actually a number of interesting clients in San Francisco. The new millennial groups want to be in San Francisco. They don't care about
the
traffic.
What's the value of computerlaw.com, by the way?
Well, I think
you might be able to sell that and retire.
It's pretty funny because I remember just a footnote to the story, the guy that owns sex.com.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it was stolen from him.
Oh.
And it's a great story. He wrote a book about it. And I said to him, what's the idea for the website? He says, who needs a website? I got the domain name, sex.com. That's
who cares?
And it was during a period of time when domain names really, and that name in particular.
And number two was computerlaw.com. All right. Thanks again for checking in today. We will be back with you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.